Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Wednesday. It is hump day. So appropriate because I'm seated with three of the most humpable, lovable, sexy people I know. It's Bryce. It's Strice. It's Jax.
And it's Claude.
It is. That's so true.
Yeah, the Strice brothers are with us, both of them in studio, like on chairs, visible to the audience watching on YouTube. And yad welcome, because these are some gorgeous boys that you're seeing today.
Yes, it feels so good. So right.
It's been weeks.
Weeks. It's been months? Eternities.
Since the Strice brethren have been on the show. And it's time today that they get their fucking asses up and work.
I know. Like, they don't even know how important, how integral to the business they are.
Yeah.
And today's episode is going to have a million views.
And literally all they have to do is sit there and look pretty.
Literally. Just like us.
Just like us.
It's not as easy as people think it is.
No. And everyone just wants to hear from us, you know?
I know.
We can't just sit here and look pretty.
I mean, we could, and it would be good.
It would be gorgeous.
But it wouldn't be great.
No.
Well, it's great because it's Wednesday and we've got stories. We've also got Dear Toasters, you know, some conundrums to help the girlies through.
Mm-hmm.
We're together.
Yeah.
We're alive.
Yeah.
What else is going right for us today? You got a new couch.
I got a new couch this morning. It was just delivered. I'm so excited to like go downstairs and really tinker with it and make it my own.
Live with it.
Couple pillows, get it all decorated. My living room is now coming together. Most of the pieces have arrived, but I need to like move my TV over and then place some more things. So I'm really excited about this journey. Big things happening. You chose a big week to come.
I'm a big girl, so it's only right.
Ain't that the truth?
Okay. Watch your mouth when you talk to me like that, okay?
Sorry, I was just like backing up everything that you say.
No, Jackie's like kind of on one this morning. Like she told me she didn't like my outfit. No, like
I went into Claudia's room and she was already complaining about her outfit.
No, I just said like, you know, my capsule wardrobe here is not doing what it needs to be doing because I honestly am spending way more time here than I thought I ever would. I thought I just like needed the bare minimum. Like, no, I need a full look, a full wardrobe. Like we have big plans this weekend. I'm gonna have to borrow something from you or Olivia. Like my capsule collection, it's not cutting it.
Yeah, so I just like didn't disagree with her.
She was like, yeah, you look like trash. That's really what you said.
I didn't say you look like trash.
You just said like you're giving trashy vibes.
That's literally not what I said. I'm not gonna repeat what I said.
Because it was worse.
But some things can be meant for the private.
No, she just like entered and was like, wow, you're so ugly. That's what she said. No, I'm kidding.
I can't with the fucking blasphemy, the fallacies coming out of your mouth.
She didn't say that. She just said, you look, wow, you're putting the turd in Laterdia. That's what she said.
Yeah, that is what I said. Let's get real.
I'm so like living for our Laterdia McClurdia era. The way this nickname has caught on, I know I don't stop talking about it, but literally every message I get is Laterd.
Laterd.
And I hope we never exit this era. Like the thing with you is like your nicknames
are always in and out of
eras. Fickle
and
fleeting. Like
some things have lasted and stood the test of time.
That's true.
Like Counselor Snitch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Bet you didn't see that one coming.
No, none of us did.
Years and years.
I hope Laterdia is here to stay, but you never know. You can't control.
You don't know where she'll go from here.
And that's the thing about Laterdia. She's so mysterious.
But I will take your request and I will file it away and I'll let that influence my next decision. I will.
And I also feel like every time we podcast together, like the next day on the podcast, I say something to this effect, but I have to say it again. I'm not okay. Yesterday was the hardest day of my life.
Oh, every time we podcast together here.
Yeah. Because, you know, taking care of Harry, but yesterday Olivia was just so busy. She had her hands tied. She said, can I drop? She had her hands full.
And she said, can I drop Michaela off? And I said, of course. Like, I thought, you know, we would lay in bed. Like, that's the thing about Michaela. She loves to lay in bed and watch TV. She's like my soul sister. But I got like Michaela on crack yesterday. She had just woken up from her nap. And I had to watch her. She was
done with laying in bed.
And Olivia said, you know, you could do whatever you want with her, but she can't jump around because she got her adenoid surgery. So like her ears are very sensitive. She can't jump around. I'm like, great. I'm not looking to jump around anyways. What did Michaela want to do? Jump the fuck around. She wanted to go outside. She wanted to jump on the bed. Like, I needed this bitch to sit down. I was so tired. I had worked a full day and now I had to work Michaela hours. When her parents came to pick her up and have dinner with us, like, they couldn't leave fast enough. Like, I needed everyone to go to sleep. I needed to lay in bed. I was not okay. Like, and I understand that being like a stay-at-home mom is such a privilege. When I tell you, it's horrendous. Like, I never want to do it.
Question. Would you rather be a stay-at-home mom or assemble chairs on the beach?
Oh, shit. Okay. So for some backstory, since I feel like I haven't said this in a while, people always ask it like, it's like a dinner party question. Like, what's the job you would least likely want to have? And everyone's like, shovel shit at the elephant circus. Shovel elephant shit at the circus. Mine is 100%. I would not want to be like a cabana boy on the beach who like sets up chairs and umbrellas in the sun. It's too much physical labor. I hate being outside and like, it's so hot. All of my least favorite things.
Like walking in the sand. It's not just like, you could sooner do it at the pool. Of course. Like, there's something out the
tension
beach.
On the beach. Walking on the beach is so hard.
Yeah. Plus like carrying everything, setting it up.
That job is the amalgamation of everything I hate. Like being physical, being hot, being outside. So would I rather do that? Or to me, like a lot of the elements of being a stay-at-home mom mirror that of being a cabana boy. It's kind of like the same physical vibe.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather, still rather be a stay-at-home mom because I get to be inside. Like, at home. No, yeah, and there's air conditioning.
Yeah.
But it's a really good question.
Yeah.
Drop a comment, you guys. What's the job you would least likely want to have?
Yeah.
And I feel like people don't think it through because everyone's always like, garbage man. It's like, really? The garbage truck has air conditioning.
No, and like the benefits and the pay.
Yeah, you are severely well taken care of. You work for the city. You have great health insurance. You have an aux cord. Like, what's bad? You meet lovely people.
I think for me, and this is really specific to me.
And it should be. The answer should
like,
be.
This is other people's like job and it's like not a bad, it's a great job. But for my skill set and my weaknesses, the thing that I would be the worst at that would like just drain me would be being a real estate broker going around and talking all
personable.
Day and like wearing heels and like meeting new people all day and personable, but like,
no, like you have to give your like social battery
small talk all day long.
Yeah. No, that's
for me.
That's not a job I could see you doing.
No. And like, if I showed you the apartment, like, here you go, take a look.
You know, it is what it is. Like, I'm not going to change your mind. No, look around. It's
like, I don't, the Sub-Zero fridge and all the details, like, I couldn't.
I feel like I could do it. I feel like real estate agency is like a performance of sorts.
Yes, that's true.
And like, I could dazzle.
Yeah, you could. You could.
I think I could do that. I don't know if I would enjoy it. I think it's a lot of time I'm on my heeled feet.
In the heels.
The heels. It's not fair. Like when I see those Selling Sunset girlies, I'm like, you have my utmost respect.
Yeah.
But I think I could do it.
And I'm also like, another thing that is not my skill is like sales. I don't think I would be good in sales, like trying to convince someone to buy something. Like I'm very like, if you like it, you should get it.
No,
and if you don't need it, you probably shouldn't.
No, and I think also part of being a real estate agent is like, you know, relying on personal and social connections. Like, oh, do you need a house? Let me sell you this. Or, oh, I just saw this great property. You might be interested in it. And like for me, mixing work and like my friends kill me. Like seriously, take me out and shoot me.
Yeah.
I hate to be like, to even like seem like I'm trying to like gain something from a friendship, you know?
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, no, you have to be able to like work your network.
Yeah.
Your network is your net worth.
Yeah.
For me?
No.
No.
But I'm curious, you guys, drop a comment. What would be the job, any job in the world that you would not want to have?
Yeah.
Because it's so random.
Yeah. It's just based on like what your weaknesses are and what your strengths are.
Right. And I just feel like those cliched answers, like once you start thinking about them, they're not that bad. Like even shoveling shit at the circus. Okay, like the shit part isn't great, but the circus is a family. Did you see The Greatest Showman?
Literally. And there's entertainment. Like I'm sure you get after hours tickets and like, I'm sure you get free popcorn.
Travel, you see the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound that bad.
No, it doesn't.
So I'm just curious what other people's like death jobs are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll keep thinking about it. And I'm sure other people's are like jobs that I would actually really like. I'm sure for some people, like they could never be a teacher. They could yeah. not be around like mm-hmm. kids all. I would love to be a teacher. I think yeah. I would be a really good teacher.
You know what? You always used to say that. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And now seeing you as a mom, like you're such like not the type of mom I thought you were going to be. Like you're not that I thought you were going to be a bad mom, like, but you're like above and beyond like the best mom ever.
Aww.
And so I actually could see you even like with Kayla, like you bring the same energy to Harry that you bring to Kayla. Like you don't like treat Harry better because he's like technically yours. Like you really love kids.
Yeah, I do. I do.
And I didn't see that, honestly. Like, I didn't, you used to say, like, I want to be a teacher. I'm like, okay.
Pray for the campers.
Pray for the kids. Like no, I didn't see it at all.
Yeah.
But I see it now.
Yeah. So everyone always asks, like, if you weren't a podcaster, what would you do? And unfortunately, I think I would, like, probably still be in some sort of, like, social media marketing and, like, yeah. not know how to break out of it.
Yeah.
But what I should have been doing is being a teacher, even if I was just, like, a substitute teacher.
Substitutes are the best.
Yeah. Bad teacher.
Holly Holiday from Glee.
Yeah.
I think if I wasn't doing this, I always say like I would be a veterinarian for
literally never
a veterinarian for one. Like yeah. I would be a private client concierge vet only to Theo's needs.
You would study medicine so that you could cure him.
100%. I don't know. I really don't know what I would do. Like I know that I would probably just like you have a job like in marketing or media because that's like what but, I studied in college.
Yeah, that's like what we know, but that's not what we should be doing.
No. I should be a pop star, like for real.
Yeah.
That's my dream job. I guess that's job.
Technically what you're doing now.
Like not really.
As close to it as you can make yourself get.
I always say like when I am, you know, about to go on stage at Madison Square Garden, like I'm so honored and humbled to be there, but like I wish it was for singing. Like I love doing
what
comedy.
If, okay, what if like whenever you get your biggest venue, whatever that's going to be next, like it's going to be for your tour. But what if you just like came out.
Backup dancers.
No, and like, yeah, just did a concert. I think everyone would be really understanding.
I think at first they would be confused. And then like once they saw the talent and the passion, they would get on board.
They would be understanding like, okay, we know McClurd and she's living her dream. Like we love that right. for her.
We'll take this L for her.
Yeah. I think we'll catch the special online.
Yeah. I think they'd be understanding too.
Yeah. Think about it.
But that is like my absolute dream. Because people are always like, you must be living your dream. And I totally am. But like, I do feel like part of me is like missing out like on, all I ever wanted to be was a pop star.
I feel like maybe you should work it into every set, like an intermission or something
yeah.
where you just get to live out your dream for a few minutes.
Or like I'll end the show because I want it to be like, I want the show to be perfect. And then I'll come back and be like, by the way, you guys can leave, but like I am going to do another 30 minutes just singing. But this is not mandatory. Feel free to leave. Feel free to go get a drink.
I think they'll stay.
I think they'll stay too. Maybe not the husbands.
But they need to drive home.
So true. They'll wait outside.
They'll wait in the car. Yeah. Listen to the toast.
Literally. So we've got a great show today. I don't have anything really else. Oh, I'm watching Ginny and Georgia. Mm. And, you know, people are, like, begging me to recap it. They're, like,
yeah,
on their hands
I
and knees.
I saw one comment. Yeah, I did.
Begging, like, pleading. Claudia, please. I'm only on, like, episode 4 or 5. And, like, it's not really, like, a substantial show that you can recap, like, where you can have intellectual conversations about it. It is so bad. But it's, like, incredible. I love Georgia. I can't with Ginny. I think that's the point. Like, she's, like, this angsty teen who's just being so dumb. Like, and Georgia's like this, you know, teen mom who like, you know, hustles hard. And I love Georgia. And I just want Ginny to be nice to her mom. It's basically a TV show about like a kid who's mean to their mom. And I feel like I saw enough of that growing up. I hate people who are rude to their parents. And it's definitely triggering me.
Hmm.
Yeah. But I do think you would like it.
That's what Olivia said.
Olivia watches it too. I think you would like it.
I don't know if I have it in me to give it a chance.
So, you know, for you, like whenever you see that guy, what's his name? Richard from The Bold Type.
Yeah.
That actor. You know when you see him in like a Hallmark movie or a TV show, like you know it's going to be your type of show.
Yeah.
I realized last night I have one of those.
Who?
The character who plays Jason Street in Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
He's in Heart of Dixie. He's also the mayor in this show. I know if he's in a show or a movie, I'm going to like it.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's so funny. I don't know why. Like, I have this like weird connection to him. Like, maybe because I was really moved by his story when I saw him in Friday Night Lights as a young girl. But whenever I'm reading a book, I always find a character who I imagine as him.
He was in something else recently, like something real.
Also, the fuck is his name?
Yeah, I'm on my Jason Street actor. His name is Scott Porter.
Oh, that sounds right.
And he is in
everything.
Heart of Dixie, Friday Night Lights, Ginny and Georgia. But there's something else. Oh, he was in Why Women Kill. We loved that show.
I did love that show. Who was he? Season 1 or 2? That is so weird. I loved that show.
Hold on.
Let me think. There was like a couple in the 50s. Scott. And then Lucy Liu. And then like the modern day couple. It must have been a different season because I didn't finish
it. It might have been season two, which was really terrible.
I didn't finish it. It was really, really bad.
Let me look for a picture. Oh.
Let me see.
He was married to that girl from America's Next Top Model and they murdered him. Spoiler alert. Remember her?
Oh, he was the abusive.
He was bad husband.
He was very good.
That was kind
that.
Of like a departure for him. Taking it was like on a new serious role.
Yeah. Because he's only like, he must have like an agent who specializes in trash.
Whatever that agency is. Where
you
it's
need
like,
to get a job
I
there.
I need to get signed.
That's your dream job.
That's my dream job is to like be in
like sappy, Hallmark sappy. Movies.
Except like, again, know thyself and your skill set. Like I would not be good.
As an actor?
As an actress.
What do you mean?
I'm not a good actress.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't say that.
I hate to say it. And I know that the craft doesn't require much.
It doesn't.
But I'm not good.
I think I could be like an incredible actress.
I think you could too because you're very dramatic. Like I'm not a good actress and I'm comfortable saying that.
No, but I feel like you and I will go somewhere and we'll like be with people or whatever and we'll get in the car and I'll be like, I fucking hated that. And you'll be like, really? What? Like I thought you were having a good time. Like I think I'm a good actor like in everyday life.
Yeah.
Like Ben is always like, we'll get in the car and we're like, fuck, like, let's get home. He's like, I thought you were having a good time.
Yeah.
That like even my own family believes me.
Yeah.
No, I think like, they've got the skill set for it.
I feel like I could, like I can act like in everyday life, you know, when I need to behave. Mm-hmm. But when it's intentional and like dramatic, like I have nothing to give.
I mean, actors are just, they're just liars.
Yeah. And I'm no one's not a liar.
No, I am. I lied to you yesterday.
You did. I asked her if she was getting in my bed, like while I was out, she just wanted to like relax in my bed because her room was occupied. And I asked, did you shower last night? She was like, no. I was like, oh, but you bathed. And she was like, yeah.
But I wasn't expecting the follow-up question. At first I was going to tell the truth. You were like, did you shower? I was like, no, like I wasn't even smelly or sweaty. And like, I was fine. And Jackie was like, I guess to Jackie, the concept of me showering was so inconceivable. She just assumed that I bathed.
Yeah,
because my room has
and
a tub.
You were talking about how you were excited to take a bath that night.
So Jackie was like, oh, so you bathed. I was like, oh, yeah. So I just went along with the lie. And then I told her a few hours later that I lied.
After she had been in my bed. And I'm not going to lie. Like
she was upset.
I just don't like that you lied to me.
I wasn't planning on lying, but you kind of like cornered me with the follow-up question.
I did not.
Like, so what? I didn't bathe. Like, who cares? I'm literally so
no
clean.
One. But you made it a big deal by lying about it, right? Isn't that what you always say?
It's not the crime, it's the cover up. That is what I always say. I really believe that too. I just felt like it was truly a harmless little white lie.
Yeah, except like, and not in a negative way, but maybe it's just because like you're a different person. When I got into my bed last night, like.
Oh, shut up. Seriously, shut the fuck up. Your bed was fine. I laid on top of the covers in my clean pajamas. Like, don't even start.
Like,
don't
if fucking I was start a detective, like I would have known someone else was in my bed that day.
You're such a little scoundrel. Like, don't even lie to me like that. Don't.
I did have the thought. This isn't a lie. But it might have just been like,
you know, just
self-fulfilling.
You were just saying not 2 minutes ago that you don't lie. So don't start now.
I don't. That's
don't
how
start
you know.
Now. Don't fucking start now. You're such a liar.
I literally had the thought when I put my head to my pillow. I was like, someone else was in here today.
Wow, I guess there's two liars on set today.
Rise and Trice.
Rise and Trice.
These boys lie through their teeth. Oh, Mom, I didn't have dinner yet.
Yeah.
To dinner, Bryce.
Actually, you know, Bryce did yesterday kind of chug my Diet Coke. Was he up all night with the zoomies? I couldn't believe he drank my soda.
He was up all night tending to his mother because I had a migraine.
Terrible.
And he was like, Mama, can I get you a cold compress? Mama, do you want your eye massager? I was like, yes, Bryce, please.
And Mama, Bruno lives in the 1930s.
Yeah, my whole household does. We have Mama and Papa.
Totally. Mama, Papa. I have Papa.
Oh, yeah.
You have, not Papa.
Yeah, you have Pop.
It's funny how like intonation is everything, you know?
It really is.
So let's get to it because we kind of got a big show. Lots of stories, some drums, and then Dear Toasters, which I'm excited about. So
without further ado about the strudududus, here are the past 5 stories that you need to know.
And I'm so excited because we have a brand new sponsor today, one that's very near and dear to our labias. It is European Wax Center sponsoring today's episode. Break away from the winter blues with a wax from the experts. Book a service today at europeanwaxcenter.com. At European Wax Center, period. All it takes.
Period.
Period. All it takes is 15 minutes. Whether you're jet setting or just staying at home, get the quick refresh you deserve in 15 minutes or less and extend your smooth at home with our post-wax phase. Each one is designed to complement your wax and maintain silky smooth skin all winter long. So whether you're like a regular waxer or you want to get into it, I feel like Jackie's been waxing for so long. Mm-hmm. And I've only recently started to get into waxing because it's obviously the better choice for hair removal. And I was like kind of nervous about it. Margo is obsessed with the European Wax Center. I know you are too. So Margo actually took me. I got my armpits and my upper lip, which is sadly a necessity. And she took me to her favorite girly at European Wax Center. And I have to say, it was such a pleasant experience.
It's really not so bad. And they make it fun. They have a great playlist going, like a lot of Kelly Clarkson. Everybody who works there is so nice. You get caught up in the convo and the wax is over. I've been going to European Wax Center for years. I go to a European Wax Center down here. And it's nice, like whether you're traveling or you've moved, like it's a name that you can trust because you don't want to let a lot of people into the world space. Of your waxdom.
No, it's true. They're really, especially for me in the city, there are so many convenient locations. When we went to get our first manicures together, when you moved down here, there was a European Wax Center right next to the nail place. And they do everything from brows to toes. European Wax Center specializes in all kinds of smooth because smooth is what they do. And what's better than a smooth escape? A free one. So your first one is on European Wax Center. Get your first wax free and you're at European Wax Center. So experience a new state of smooth at European Wax Center. Make your reservation today. Your first wax is free. Beat the winter blues with a wax from the experts, keeping you silky smooth all season long with 15 minute appointments, exclusive comfort wax, and an array of post-wax products. Beating the winter blues is smoother than ever before. Want to give it a try? Your first wax is on the house. Get your first wax free at European Wax Center. Today's episode is
she
also...
She said free.
I did say free.
She said free.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Clinique. Many things in life can dehydrate your skin, including weather, pollution, blue light, time spent in the sun, mask wearing, air traveling, and air conditioning. Fight back against life's daily dehydrators with Clinique Moisture Surge 100 Hour. This supercharged gel cream hydrator delivers 100 hours of hydration for plump, glowing skin, even after washing your face. Auto-replenishing technology helps skin create its own internal water source, delivering continuous, oil-free, and non-greasy radiant hydration. After 1 week, 99% of women say that their skin It leaves their skin feeling deeply hydrated. So Clinique is a brand that you can certainly trust. And this time of year, I feel like everyone's skin is getting like dry and flaky and just like kind of crusty and gross. So turn to the experts at Clinique. The oil-free gel cream moisturizer with aloe bioformin and HA complex penetrates deep into the skin's surface for 100 hours of stabilizing hydration. Plus, the auto-replenishing technology helps skin create its own internal water source to continually rehydrate itself, then lock in moisture. And your skin will feel soothed with hydration in 3 seconds and it keeps on glowing. So I have used this product. After one application, I saw an immediate boost in hydration and just my overall skin radiance. My dehydrated skin was smoothed and comforted with a nourishing hydration that lasts. I feel like sometimes you'll put on a product and it'll just like go away after a few minutes. But this product from Clinique, like, is continually hydrating your skin throughout the day and you'll notice like that glow and that radiance all day long. And then in 4 weeks, women saw 37% improvement in skin barrier strength, more balanced skin microbiome, and a visible improvement in the appearance in fine, dry lines, which can be like really gross and crusty this time of year. So you'll apply it twice daily in the morning and at night on clean skin. You can use it alone or under makeup, on dry spots, as a 5-minute mask, as a cuticle treatment, as a frizz fighter, whatever it is. Whatever issue you're having, this product will work for you. Just one use and you'll see an improvement in skin radiance. So shop the Clinique Moisture Surge 100 Hour this Valentine's Day for 20% off when you go to Clinique.com. The discount is valid through Valentine's Day, February 14th. So shop Clinique Moisture Surge 100 Hour this Valentine's Day and for 20% off, go to Clinique.com. The discount is valid through Valentine's Day.
T.Y.
Yed Welks.
First story, a little world tour news. Beyonce announces Renaissance World Tour dates for summer 2023. The superstar performer announced her highly anticipated Renaissance World Tour on Wednesday. Beyonce will kick off the U.S. leg on July 12th in Philadelphia with subsequent stops in cities including Chicago, New York City, Boston, Atlanta, Miami, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Houston, and New Orleans, among others. So this is very exciting. I think it's been a while since Beyonce has been on tour. And now she's doing it. There's a lot of world tours going on.
I feel like there are a lot of world tours going on. And I wonder if they have to like navigate around each other. Like, do you think Beyonce like waited a little bit? Because it's summer 2023. It's like kind of when Taylor starts. Like, do you think she had to like not accommodate, but like, you know, she didn't want to do it too close to Taylor and like have to compete?
To be honest, no.
No.
I don't.
What about Madonna? No. No, different demographic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also
I like this time frame that she announced. Like it's
February so
and we can get excited for summer 23. Like that's a good amount of leeway.
I also think like only really Beyonce could do that because like you have to know for sure. Like stadiums like most people who play stadiums, they don't sell out immediately. Like a couple people do, but you need like a decent amount of time to lead up to the shows in order to sell like 90% of the seats out. But I feel like Beyonce is like one of the only people who could do it like literally 4 months before.
Yeah.
It's like not that long.
But Taylor sold out everything, right? Because you guys couldn't get tickets.
Yeah, Taylor's like a Beyonce as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, because we couldn't get tickets. Yeah, rub it in.
Yeah, so what's going on with your tickets?
I just can't explain like how relaxed I am.
That's so good.
Like I have no tickets. I have no prospects. I'm 27. I have no money and no prospects. But I just know I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
I can't like explain how I'm not concerned.
I'm not concerned for you.
Like
either.
I'm so
I know
calm.
You're gonna be there.
I'm feeling very calm.
You are a beacon of calmness.
Calmness is my superpower.
That is not true.
That is a lie.
A lie.
A big lie.
I would say, what's your superpower?
Probably like my looks.
Yeah.
No, actually, what's my superpower? My personality. Like, that's so something an ugly person would say, but like, it is. Like, it is. I'm sorry. I think people like, you know, sometimes think they might not like me or like, you know, and then like,
you can turn them.
I really like
with your powers.
I'm a dazzler. I really am.
Yeah.
And I just happen to be beautiful, which is so unfair, but no, that's definitely.
It's what's on the inside that counts.
Another thing that you would say to an ugly person. Wow. I'm just feeling like really gorgeous today. No, my personality. What would you say is your superpower?
Oh,
I would say actually calmness.
Yeah, I would say calmness is among my
like you're so level-headed. Like you never get like hasty. You know, like what do they say about decisions in haste? Like you've never made one of those. When no. I make one once a day.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would say my calmness and just like my level-headedness. That was
yeah.
a good word.
Yeah. So Beyonce's going on tour. I feel like everyone's gonna be going to like so many concerts this summer. That's so fun.
I love that for us.
Yeah. And I do think normally like we would not like be experiencing a Taylor tour and a Beyonce tour like in the same few months.
But we have years to make up for.
Right.
Years were taken off of our lives and they must be added back.
Quite literally. Speaking of concerts, there's also been some buzz that Harry Styles got like a really big offer to do a Vegas residency.
Oh my God. I mean, that's a great idea. He'll be amazing. And he's so Vegas, but
he's so Vegas.
Like take a break.
I know. I do think conceptually it's like a good idea for him and his brand, especially because he kind of like does residencies.
Yeah.
He does like a couple weeks in New York, a couple weeks in LA. But my God, yeah, he did like take like a month off and now he's back at the Forum.
But it's not even about taking time off. It's about like scheduling your schedule to be humane.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Like with days off in between.
I know. It's like sad. He needs to calm down.
Yeah.
But I do think he would probably put on like an amazing show. I think I would go see that.
Yeah. I could go for a trip to Vegas.
Me too. We need to see Adele.
And we need to see Carrie Underwood.
Oh, when does she start?
She's on, right? Because Rach went.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
That would be a good one too. Mm-hmm. The country women do a good Vegas residency. I think Miranda Lambert just wrapped one up too. They're like, it's so Vegas also. It's like diamond and denims, you know?
It must be fun to live in Vegas and like you have every concert that you could just go to.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say it must be fun for like Carrie Underwood to live in Vegas for a few months. And I actually don't think it is.
No.
And
no.
I don't think that they do.
No. Yeah. That's not what I was
like. Adele's is on the weekends. I think yeah. She probably goes back to LA on Monday morning.
Yeah.
I really do want to see Adele. What's crazy is like the ticket prices have not come down.
It looks amazing.
She looks amazing.
Every video I see, like I watched the whole thing and I'm glad that I did.
Me too. I do want to say it doesn't look like the production is so wild. They couldn't have gotten it right the first time, but I've moved on from that. I'm just still like a little suspicious. And I really do want to see it. Like, especially when she goes into the audience, I'm like a little annoyed. Not that I have any plans to go. I'm annoyed that, like when she goes into the audience, which is like kind of like the worst part of a concert. Like everyone has to turn around. Like you can't even see the person. It's during my favorite song. She goes in when we were young.
Yeah.
Not to complain about a show probably won't see.
Yeah, maybe you should tell her.
No, maybe she'll hear this.
Anyways, Beyonce, I'm excited for everyone who's going to go, but I feel like it's not enough shows and there's going to be like a calamity trying to get tickets.
Well, we'll have to see how Ticketmaster handles. You know, they had their hearing.
Yeah.
And it was like all the politicians. At first, I thought it was funny. And like,
no, not for 1 second did I think it was funny.
No, then I was like, okay, these people are like trying to be viral. This is like giving cringe. Like the second before, like everyone said, like all these people in Congress We're like talking to Ticketmaster and like then speaking in Taylor Swift lyrics. And it was like, obviously one person did it. And then and the next person and the next person. And it was so cringe. It would look at their notes and be like, Ticketmaster, you're a nightmare. Dress like a daydream.
Ticketmaster, now we have bad blood.
Ticketmaster, you should say to yourself, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me.
Like cringe beyond.
It was cringe beyond. Yeah. At first I was here for it. And then like the more people I saw doing it and each one got worse and worse, I thought this is what's wrong with our country and why, you know, eggs are $8.
This is what's wrong with our country.
You ever just like forget how to drink and you're suddenly soaked?
Are you soaked?
I'm covered in Pellegrin.
Because you didn't put your mouth on it.
I didn't?
No.
Oh my God, it's everywhere.
Are you ready for our next story?
I took that shower you finally wanted me to take.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Tom Brady says he's retiring for good after 23 seasons in an emotional video. So Tom Brady put out a video this morning saying, give him a chance to make fun of himself.
Yeah.
He said, I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time. So when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first.
He said press record?
He did say press record. It won't be long. They just spelled it wrong on People Magazine.
Classic.
It won't be long-winded. You only get one super emotional retirement thank essay. You. And I used mine up last year. So I really thank you guys so much. He said to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Well, you should.
I just feel like that last line is a little bit of a lie.
Yeah. Especially
not even because that he like didn't do great this season.
He lost his family.
He lost his, like, you know, if he had just retired when he said that he would still be married to Giselle, according to sources.
Right. Like whatever, like it's crazy how like he is the GOAT. I'm like, I feel like nobody cares. Like it's almost played out at this point. Like,
but he
sure
knows.
Tom.
At least he knows. He's not trying to like make a meal of it. He's just like.
No, it was a self-aware statement. And for that, we're extremely grateful because like we're all looking at him side eye.
Though this time I was a little bummed because there were rumors he might be going to the 49ers and they actually could really use him and he could use them.
Like, I guess.
They need a strong QB. I think his time is up. They have everything else really strong.
I know.
And he's from the Bay Area.
Well, that's true. I do wonder, like, what's on his mind. Like, is he... I could see, like, everything we have heard about, like, the whole Giselle thing being a lie. But, like, if it's true, this has to be a person, like, living with deep regret.
Yes. But, like, I think that it's more than just, like, one decision for him to go back to football that would, like, end his very long marriage.
Yeah.
You know? Because if they were otherwise so happy...
Yeah, there has to be something else.
Then... they would have made it work. So I think it was, they were at the end of their road and that was the last straw. But if it wasn't that, there would have been a different straw.
Are you at the end of your road or the end of your rope?
I think you could be at both.
I think it's at the end of, I mean, you could be
I
at.
I feel like end of your rope is a little like morbid no?
Like giving like suicidal vibes.
Yeah, yeah, that's the vibe I'm getting.
Rope is definitely.
So I'm gonna change it to road.
Did you see Kylie wearing that necklace?
Yeah, that was fucking news. Weird.
That was fucking weird.
Yeah.
I'm all about like, you know, making a statement with your art, but like it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Fashion's just getting like kind of weirder and weirder.
Darker and
more twisted.
More twisted. And I just think further away from like what regular people
want to wear. Yeah, totally.
So
for that reason,
I'll stay in my sweatshirt.
Yeah, for that reason, I'll stay in this outfit that you didn't like.
That's not what I said. You didn't like it first. That's not what I said.
I didn't say I don't like it. I'm happy for Tom, you know, I hope he enjoys his retirement, whatever he does, his businesses, gets into sportcasting. But I have like so many, like I'm curious, you know, like about what he's really feeling at this time. Cause I could see a world in which like, he kind of like looked like depressed in that video.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was just because like, you know, he's ending his career or cause like he kind of went out like a loser. Like, I'm retiring. Never mind.
Yeah, but, like, you have to remember he's not a loser. Like, if he's ever feeling that way, he can look at his 6 Super Bowl rings and feel better.
Yeah. So, did he win a Super Bowl
since
leaving the Patriots?
Yeah, I think the Bucks won.
Won once. And then he retired.
I don't know. I feel like he retired before he went to the Bucks.
Me too. I think he won with the Patriots, retired. Came back, won with the Bucks, and then lost twice. Or once.
Once, twice.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not like that losery, but it's not great.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story, which is really kind of crazy?
Kind of crazy.
So Nicola Peltz's snippy text blasting her wedding planner's mistakes have been shown in a lawsuit.
Yes.
Because Nicola's dad is suing this wedding planning duo for not giving back a deposit that he deposited, even though they didn't wind up working with them. So according to the Daily Mail, Nicola's father filed a lawsuit against wedding planners Nicole Braggin and Ariana Giralba for refusing to give back the $159,000 deposit he gave them. In the lawsuit, he's claiming that he and his wife hired them in March 2022 through their firm Plan Design Events. After parting ways with their first wedding planner, the Peltzes hired the duo 6 weeks before the star-studded nuptials were to take place. However, after only 9 days on the job, the duo decided not to move forward with Nicola and Brooklyn because they could not handle the couple's guest list, which included more than 500 people. Per the Daily Mail, the lawsuit reads, the celebrity of the wedding couple combined with the anticipated attendance of many high-profile guests required that the wedding planner have the expertise and staffing to plan, coordinate, and execute a wedding event of the expected caliber and complexity.
Yeah, like not just any old wedding planner could execute this. And I heard that this was like they went through like three or four people till they found the right one, this being one of them.
Yeah, this was number two, and the lawsuit is because they didn't get their deposit back. But the lawsuit included some text messages that Nicola had allegedly sent the wedding planners in the lawsuit, including one where the actress said she was, quote, tired of fixing their mistakes after they said Lewis Hamilton RSVP'd yes, although he told the couple he could not attend the wedding. So she texted them, Lewis Hamilton did not RSVP, so explain why his name's on the list, please. She said, we spoke to him, he can't come, so explain why you said he RSVP'd yes. The wedding planner said she tried to explain that she needed more time to get familiar with the app that the virtual guest list was on. She said, I need time to do this. I'm going to take a moment to learn the app and send you the information. I hate looking like a fool, but I hate the most not giving you what you need ASAP. I will be back soon. Nicola, who was seemingly upset, allegedly replied, that's not true. He didn't RSVP at all. Nicola's dad also claimed in the lawsuit that the wedding planners had a drinking problem. And because they sent a text to Nicola saying that one of them said, going for a tequila before her head was about to explode, to which Nicola replied, yes, queen. So I guess like that's
okay. That's dramatic, problem. Mr. Peltz.
Yeah. So he's also suing for the legal fees.
I don't know. It kind of sounds like they were pretty far into the planning process with these planners because they were accepting RSVPs. So they deserve to be paid for something.
Yeah, but to be paid versus like the deposit.
Yeah, I don't know what this money is like specifically for. I've never heard of a wedding planner taking a deposit. They get a fee.
Yeah, I don't know. And then they wound up hiring a different wedding planner with how much time to spare. Like this was already 6 weeks out. Like right. How many weeks did they work for them? A week, 2 weeks?
No, it has. I feel like they probably worked with them for a decent amount of time. If they were already in the collecting RSVP stage, that's 6 to 8 weeks.
No, but they hired them at 6 weeks out. They had a different wedding planner before.
Oh, you know that for sure?
Yeah, that's in there.
They
hired them with 6 weeks till the wedding.
Got it. Okay, so no.
And then they didn't go with them and there's a different wedding planner.
That's fucking crazy, by the way. I thought all of this was like, you know, 1 year out, starting to plan, going through a few planners and then ending with one, not changing planners 6 weeks before. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't really maybe this is like a mega, mega rich person thing, but I never heard of a planner taking a deposit.
Yeah. So that's why he wants his money back.
Yeah. So I wonder who's like going to win, like who's entitled to the money. Like
her dad is like a billionaire businessman. I don't think
this is like a bad look.
No, I don't think he would go for a lawsuit that wasn't a win for him.
Right.
Like, because it is a bad look if the law isn't on his side.
Yeah, that's true. Like, and going if it's after not a like small...
crystal fucking clear.
Yeah, that's true. It's just like so awkward, like having your text messages being leaked.
So awkward. I actually don't think that they're that bad considering like
it could have been worse.
Heard about her, but also the dad put hers in. So like maybe there were others.
Yeah.
Maybe like they'll add them. But
I'm sorry, that's like so dramatic.
She's like, just like a little snippy about Lewis Hamilton. Like, why is he on here? He told us he wasn't coming.
No, but like so dramatic to like submit a text message where she says she needs a drink because it was like a stressful day. She has a drinking problem. Calm down.
But like at least we could see Nicola was nice when she were back.
Yes, queen. Yeah. Because I could see Nicola being like such a bitch.
So scary.
Like she's like just think, how do you not?
Especially as a bride 6 weeks before her wedding. Like
how do you not like when you grow up look, her family, people don't, I don't even think, understand. Like, they're like the top 1% of the 1%. Like, they're like next level rich. She's so gorgeous. She's in Hollywood. Like, how could you not be like a fucking wench. Cunt? I just don't know how you couldn't not be like the most nasty bitch alive.
I mean, there's a way where you're just like so grateful for your bountiful blessings.
I can tell you it wouldn't be me. Like, if I was so perfect and like literally came from like billionaire family, became like a starlet, was perfect looking, like you could not catch me being nice to a single human being. Like you, I wouldn't even pretend I know you.
You wouldn't even look at me.
Well, actually, if you're still my sister, that means you're also like a billionaire.
I think she loves her little sis.
Okay.
Is she always posting her sis?
I don't know.
I feel like she is.
Like, it's so important to know thyself.
Yeah.
And I just know I would be worse than Nicola. Like, I just know it.
Yeah, especially 6 weeks out, she's having wedding drama. Should have called Birch. Like,
yeah.
They would.
It just also
Josh would never.
It's so interesting. Like, really, maybe a wedding of this magnitude happens, like, in this country, like, 3 times a year. Who is, like, because this is bigger than, like, Kardashian even. I feel like, who's the...
Mindy Weiss.
Mindy Weiss. Like, I feel like someone bigger. Like, who's bigger than Mindy Weiss?
I don't know, but it happens.
It exists.
All the time.
But I'm just like, who is it?
Not every day.
Who is it?
I don't know. It's anyone's job for the taking.
Speaking of...
Gertie. They should have hired Gertie. She's in Miami.
I don't think so. So random. I don't know what just reminded me of this, but... yesterday we were talking about how like Orlando Bloom and Miranda Kerr and Katy Perry were at that event together. So Miranda Kerr posted a TikTok.
I saw.
It was so cute of her like dancing with Katy Perry and being like, when you love your son's stepmom so much, like obsessed.
Obsessed.
I love that. I feel like a lot of people didn't even realize that like
there was a
kid.
Son. Yeah.
Yeah. They're really private actually with their kids, like as they should be. And now I think I'm like becoming obsessed. Like I need to see more step co-parenting content.
Yeah. They should do an episode of like a podcast blended.
Yeah. They should start a blended podcast.
Yeah. Where they like bring on parents who are having a hard time co-parenting.
And they just kind of ameliorate the situation immediately.
Yeah. Which actually is a great segue into our next story because they could become the new Dr. Phil with that.
Oh. And is it the new story that they could become the new Dr. Phil with that? That's brought to you by Kitsch. Is there coincidence? Like, is that the one?
That's the one.
All right, you guys, today's episode is brought to you by Kitsch. 2023 is the year of good. We're feeling good, we're doing good, and we're being good to ourselves. Kitsch makes feeling good simple with luxurious game-changing essentials that beauty enthusiasts swear by. And they say that hair care is a new skincare, but there's one brand that has taken it to the next level with a cult-like following. Kitsch has created game-changing essentials that beauty enthusiasts are swearing by, like from satin pillowcases to time-saving towels. They know hair care doesn't stop in the shower. So whatever your budget, whatever your skin type or your hair type, Kitsch believes that you deserve little indulgences at an affordable price, morning, noon, and night. They were started in 2010 by selling hair ties door to door. They just started hustling and all they had was a dream. And now they are sold in over 20,000 retail locations. So their best sellers include a lot of favorites here from Jackie and I, the satin pillowcases. They also make satin eye masks and caps. The satin is vegan and cruelty free. They are so great for your hair and for your skin while you sleep. If you wake up with like a rat's nest and you find yourself having to like re-give yourself a blowout every morning, which was me a few months ago, start sleeping with a satin pillowcase or wearing a satin cap on your head. It will make the biggest difference. Also, it's great for your skin. Like if you wake up with lines on your face, that can cause like aging and wrinkles. And satin pillowcases are just like an all-around great thing to have. There's no reason you shouldn't. They also have shampoo and conditioner bars, which are part of Bottle Free Beauty. They also offer a heatless satin curling roller so you can say goodbye to heat damage. It's amazing to get like curls and blowouts at a fraction of the price. It's literally $18. So right now, Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/toast. That's 30% off anything and everything at mykitsch, mykitsch.com/toast. That's mykitsch.com/toast for 30% off your order.
Thank you, Turdy.
You're welcome.
Next story. Dr. Phil's talk show will end after 21 seasons. He said, I'm moving on from daytime. The long-running daytime talk show hosted by Dr. Phil McGraw will wrap after its current 2022 to 2023 season, which is its 21st. Dr. Phil is ending his time with the show after signing his most recent contract with CBS Media Ventures, which was good for 5 years in 2018. The syndication company is expected to give networks the option to run previously taped episodes for the forthcoming 2023 to 24 season. He said in a statement to People, "I have been blessed with over 25 wonderful years in daytime television. With this show, we have helped thousands of guests and millions of viewers through everything from addiction and marriage to mental wellness and raising children. This has been an incredible chapter of my life and career, but while I'm moving on from daytime, there is so much more I wish to do." CBS Media Ventures said that Dr. Phil will soon share details on a strategic primetime partnership that will help him increase his impact on television and viewers.
I feel like this timing is really good because it's only a matter of time before Dr. Phil gets canceled. Like, there was like a small movement led by Danielle Brigoli a few years ago. And like, it had a little bit of traction because I think a lot of the facilities that his production company would like send troubled teens to was like, are some of those problematic places like Provo Canyon that Paris Hilton went to. And you know what? He's gotten through 25 years relatively unscathed. And I think in order to protect his legacy, this is the absolute best thing that he should do. It's literally a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, I don't know if the culture can handle Dr. Phil for much longer.
No, because Dr. Phil's very much like the tough love.
Yeah, and he, like what, I think what a lot of what he used to do, like would not fly today.
No, no.
So unless he wants to, and I don't think that he should change his way or his format, but you know, the world has changed.
Yeah, and no, his time is up. His time is up.
But it's also worth noting that daytime television is changing. Like Wendy Williams show, Ellen DeGeneres show, Dr. Oz, The Real, like they're all going. I think that this is an inflection point for daytime. Will it change beyond recognition where it's to the point where like there are really none of those shows? Or it's like we're just doing Kelly and Drew and like, you know,
J-Hud.
These types of really light, bright shows that are like,
yeah,
not gonna solve the world's problems.
Right. No, you're right. We're definitely moving in that direction. Like it's more of like the Ellen vibe than the Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, like kind of scary. I feel like sometimes that content's like fear mongering, like what's in your morning cereal? Cancer, you know, like, and like Dr. Drew, like things like that. The doctors, that show.
Yeah, what about Jerry Springer? Like
right,
Maury, must be like quaking.
Maury's ending, right?
Yeah.
Steve Wilkos, like it's, I think like our kids will not be watching, you know, when they're homesick from school.
They'll be watching Kelly Clarkson.
And you know what? They'll be better off for it.
Yeah, no, they could have. I feel like when you're homesick from school and then you're watching like, you know, Jerry Springer and you see like someone in dire straits, it's like, you know what? I'll go to school tomorrow.
It's true. We're scaring the kids straight while they're sick.
Instead, they'll be singing like, sometimes in the middle of the night, I can feel you again. I just miss you and I just wish you were a better man. You know, you'll go in, they're supposed to be sick. Instead, right, they've got the karaoke machine out.
Love that for them.
Sorry, the Kellyoke machine.
Kellyoke. But now it's like, what's next for Dr. Phil? And it says he's obviously working on some big, probably more like high level like production or development thing with CBS. And I really feel like he should give his time slot to Morgan Stewart.
Yeah.
Like he should make his next phase in life, like making Morgan Stewart the next Dr. Phil, but like of her genre.
Yeah.
He must see the talent that's, you know, the mother of his grandchildren, you know, his daughter-in-law. He must see it.
They should host a show together and like maybe like she could
bring
be that foil where it's like, Phil, we don't say that.
Yeah. No, I love that format. It's like, and it would be bringing like old and young generations together.
I'd be watching.
In a second, on a dime, I would be watching that.
It's something to think about.
He has a podcast that's really popular. He does like more mental health stuff. I don't think this is the last of Dr. Phil, but I do think in this kind of antiquated format, it's not going to cut it anymore.
Yeah. I feel like he has so many like fans and I don't think that's why he's really leaving. Like, I just do think that daytime is changing.
You know, and he's probably over it. Like doing the same thing every day for 25 years.
Yeah.
It's and a like,
lot. He could, if he wanted to, retire.
Yeah. Oh, he's so rich.
Yeah.
He's fine.
So we'll see what's next.
Yeah. But the end of an era, truly.
Yeah. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Yeah.
Britney Spears is accusing Melissa Milano of bullying for questioning her well-being.
Alyssa Milano. You said Melissa Milano. I'm like, the TikToker, Melissa Medrano?
Literally, no, I didn't.
You literally said Melissa, but okay.
Okay,
roll Girl it boss, back. Gaslight, repeat.
You are.
You.
You.
You, roll the tapes.
Good, because we have them.
Roll the tapes.
Because we have them. Hopefully today's files don't mysteriously disappear. So Alyssa Milano tweeted, "Someone please go check on Britney Spears." You know, that's what people say these days.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, before I give my opinions, I'm definitely biased because I find Alyssa Milano to be, like, one of the most annoying bitches on the planet. Continue.
And so Britney posted that to her Instagram story and said, "It saddens me to see things about me from people who don't know me. This definitely feels like a form of bullying. Ladies, we are supposed to be rooting for one another, not pulling one another down."
You know, I might have to rescind what I said. I think I might be with Alyssa Milano on this one because you know what? Like, it's not bullying. It must be tough for Britney to see that. Like, Britney is not okay. We all know that.
I know, but I feel like this is what we've always been saying. It's like, you don't need to check on Britney. Like, this is Britney.
Right.
This is the Britney that we freed. Like, and I think that the situation that she was in was extremely extreme. But at one point, like, she was... When, like, this all started because, like, I think that she's not, like, what you would consider,
normal. Yeah.
She has her quirks about mm-hmm. her. And that doesn't mean that she has to live her life like a prisoner, though. So, thus, she is free.
Right.
But, like, Britney's going to be Britney.
Britney's going to be a little weird.
And she doesn't need anyone to check in on her.
No. Also, I just feel like Alyssa Milano should mind her own business, you know? Like, there's, like, things out there about, like, her husband. Like, just stop.
Oh, I don't even know.
There's stuff out there. So just like, why don't you mind your own business and like, you know, those in glass houses.
She had said recently, Britney, "Nope, I'm not having a breakdown. I am who I am and moving forward in my life. I've never felt better." That's literally what I think. She is who she is and she's moving forward in her life being who she is, which is a person that like you might not have thought that she was, but she is.
Or like, I think like two things can be true. Like she can be happy, but also deeply unwell. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And she could be unwell, but not need to be in a conservatorship on lithium, like working every day, not being able to accept her own money, having an IUD placed in her when she wants kids, not being able to marry her husband. Like she deserves her freedom.
Yeah. And just because she like dances in her living room.
It's not like what you would post on social media. And the thing is, I don't even like look at any of it anymore because it is out there.
Yeah.
And the girl is free and she deserves her freedom. But it's not, you know, it's not the usual celebrity curated content.
Well, it's also important to remember, like not only is Britney obviously going through stuff so her social media is weird, she's also a 40-year-old mom. Like she's chewy. Like that is also her aesthetic. Like, I feel like people are always like, because we expect, you know, like every celebrity, no matter how old they are, has like some, you know, 25-year-old intern helping with their social that like, it always comes off like cool. Like they know the trends, but like Britney is literally 40. She's a mom of two. Like that is kind of the vibe for people that age. Like that's what they post. Maybe not the dancing, but like the quote cards and like the weird captions.
Yeah. I feel like there was other stuff recently that was more concerning, but it's like, she's working through all of her newfound freedom and she's doing it in front of everyone. And that is her right. Like,
and it's going to be raw.
A human being.
And it's going to be ugly.
And so I don't know that she needs to be checked on all the time. I think being checked on is what got her into a situation that was really bad. She's not hurting anyone. It doesn't seem to be that she's hurting herself. Let the girl live and be fucking weird.
Facts.
So I understood what she meant when she's like stop. Everyone can stop saying, and everyone thinks they're being so like
helpful.
Know, helpful and magnanimous. Let's check on Britney. I'm worried about Britney. She's very happy.
And that mentality, this just happened last week. Like, we need to check on Britney. Like, people, like, concerned fans, like, call the cops and the cops show up at her house in the middle of the night and, like, it freaks her out. So it's like, we can be concerned, but, like, there has to be a line. Please, it's so important for everyone in the world who cares about Britney to remember, you don't know Britney. So just, like, don't call the cops to her house. Like, you don't, this is still a stranger to you. You don't really know. None of us really know what's going on. I mean, don't know what she's really like.
Yeah, but hopefully she has a few good people around her who know what she is really like and so know what to look out for if something is wrong.
Yeah, agreed. It's been so nice to have the boys back. Like, Theo's been such a fucking angel this whole time.
Yeah, so was Trisand. And now he wants to explore, which is his right. To do
his duty.
He's gonna explore his duty, that's for sure. It's
for damn sure. And that's our show. Oh no, it's not. Sorry.
It's not. I was wondering.
You know me, I'm like not okay today.
I mean, same. Let me pull up the Dear Toasters for you.
So it's Wednesday, which means our advice segment, our favorite day of the week, is Dear Toasters. If you want to email us, get some advice from your favorite girlies, email deartoasters@gmail.com and we will do our best to get your quandary on air. We've got some good submissions today. Are you ready?
Ready.
Hey, girly turlies. My husband brings me home a magnet after every work trip he goes on. It's cute and thoughtful, except he puts them on the fridge. I've tried to find another spot for them, but they always end up back on the fridge. We're moving from our apartment into our first house soon, and the magnets just simply don't fit the aesthetic. What do I do? Should I lose them during the move? Much love. She wrote her name. Oh my God, nobody ever writes their name. Much love, Magnet Girl.
That is so interesting because it's so sweet, but I totally understand, like, we cannot be having a fridge full of magnets, but if they're not going to be on the fridge, like, they're just going to sit in a drawer, which is also kind of sad. Like, those are gifts from him.
For me, like, I am, if Jackie and Ben, they both call me the sweeper. Like, I'm constantly sweeping up, throwing things out. Like, I don't care if they have sentimental value. Like, I hate clutter in my house. I find myself, like, you know, months later looking for stuff and being like, oh my God, I definitely tossed that in the sweep. So I'm just very much like, I don't care about your feelings. It's, you know, it's how the house looks over your feelings. This is like a really sweet thing. Maybe you could put them in like a shoebox.
No, or like put them in a drawer and then when you need a magnet on the fridge, like for a grocery list, like take from the magnet drawer, but we're not just gonna have like magnets on the fridge that aren't serving a purpose.
No, yeah, that's like very like old retro. Like it's tacky, like it's not the vibe.
You could be like going into the new home, like I want purposeful magnets and they're not just gonna sit on the fridge. Like if you want a grocery list or you're leaving me a note, like this is the magnet drawer.
Do people still use magnets?
Like our fridge is still magnetic.
I feel like the new like vibe that was people having like cabinets over their fridge. Yeah. So most people don't actually have magnetic fridges anymore.
I think my fridge is magnetic, but I don't have a magnet.
Right. Is that still a thing? I guess like when you have kids and they start like coming home with like paintings and stuff.
Yeah, like you have the kids' schedule on the fridge. Like it's cute.
It's cute, but like I feel like that's very like a 90s thing.
But not just magnets for magnet's sake.
Right. No, I mean, I don't have children, so like I certainly don't have a single magnet in my home.
Purposeful magnets is where we're going in 2023. Just be like, oh my God, I was listening to this podcast. They were talking about purposeful magnets.
Yeah.
And it really got me thinking, like our magnets are not serving a purpose. And until they do, they should go in a drawer.
They're just kind of like cluttering. But did you see that story about Marie Kondo? She's kind of like given up.
Yeah, that was sad.
That was sad and like a real reflection of the state of the world.
It made me sad to think of everybody who threw their stuff away and is now like, oh, I want it back.
They got carried away. They got condoed away.
But I still like her philosophy.
Yeah, right. If it doesn't spark joy, get rid of it. But I don't know. I feel like this might be a hard sell now that like Marie Kondo is bowed out.
But maybe we need a new Marie Kondo called The Sweeper. New show idea.
I am the fucking
Claudia
sweeper.
Claudia Ashray is The sweeper. Your superpower is sweeping.
It really is. But that's why my studio remains completely organized and clutter-free. My house, you will not find a single thing I don't actually need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the great joys of my life, sweeping. I love it. I swept your house last night when everyone's still eating dinner.
It's fun to sweep when it's just like the kids' toys because they just like all go back in the bin. It's like, and it goes from being like so messy to so clean so
quickly.
It's
easy to clean when it's like, yeah. And you're also really good. You have like bins for Bruno's toys, bins for Harry's toys. Like it's easy to sweep your house.
Yeah.
I also just felt like it was like really messy and like Zach was going to come home. Like it's not nice, you know?
Oh, thanks. I mean, that's a fun mess. That's not like really messy. That's not like dishes in the sink.
No, I also like to be a good house guest. So it's not like, oh, Claudia's coming. Like Ben's toenail.
Ben's toenail.
Did we ever tell that story?
I don't think that we did.
I work so hard when I stay at Jackie's house to be a good house guest, like so that it's not like, oh, Claudia's coming. So like, I know you'll never feel that way, but like, I don't want Zach to be like, oh, so much work, Claudia's coming. So I always, you know, I never leave a dish. When I leave, I, you know, make the bed every morning. I leave the room nice. I take my trash out and I do it for me and Ben.
Yeah. But they stayed here in December, and when we were cleaning out the room because we were turning it over for the next guest, we found Ben's toenail on the nightstand.
Like, you know when, like, your big toe, like...
like, just the whole thing comes off?
Right, not, like, the whole nail, the whole, like, extension, like...
Yeah, the whole, tip. Like, tip. And so he must have ripped it off and left it on the nightstand because he must have been impressed, like, with his big, big toenail.
I remember him ripping it off and showing it to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it never occurred to me he would leave it there.
Then he left it there, and Zach found it. I feel like if I had found it, like, I would have concealed it and just told you, but Zach was
It's horrified. So disgusting. And it's, like, all the work that I do to, like, leave a good impression for my family, and Ben destroys it with a 2-inch nail.
And so I call Ben. Oh, my God. And you told me to scare him, so I left him, like, a really scary voicemail, like, hey, Ben, we need to talk, like, please call me back. And when he called me back, I was like, you know, dragging it out. And then I was like, and I found your toenail. And he was like, no, that's not mine. That was Claudia's.
Oh, what? You didn't tell me that.
Yes, I did. He said, that's Claudia's. I was like, no, it's too big to be Claudia's. And it was on your side of the bed.
Yes. And Claudia. Closer to the window, right?
Yeah, of course. And Claudia would never.
Uh-uh. I cannot.
Anyways, he was like, not even...
giving you.
Not apologizing, oh, like not embarrassed.
I cannot believe he tried to blame that shit on me.
Well, I guess if it's mine, I'm sorry.
if it's, that's like, if I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's like, I don't think it's mine, but if it is, like, I'm really sorry.
I cannot believe that little shit tried to blame me. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm like mad at him all over again.
actually had forgotten about it.
Back to the deer toasters. Just get rid of them. Like, I'm sorry. Put them in a shoebox. Like, it's sweet. It's like collector.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Or in the move, don't throw them away, but like in the move.
They don't have to go on the fridge.
Like, put them somewhere where he can't find them. And then also maybe going forward, be like, I feel like we have so many magnets. Like, but I love that you're always saying of me, like maybe a shot glass, maybe a keychain.
Yeah. Switch it up.
Maybe a sweatshirt.
Our next one is like a Venmo issue. And I find these issues, like, people really have such gall. Ready? Hey, Jackson Claude. Token Gen Z are here. Claude, your TikTok presence is working. My big sis introduced me to the toast and I'm obsessed. That's why I wanted to read this submission.
Anything for me?
No.
Usually like, there's something nice for you and something nice for me.
Well, she didn't say something. She just said the TikTok presence is working since I'm the one doing the TikTok.
Oh, okay. I thought she meant also like your videos, like, you know, no, your food trying.
No. I think she just meant the clips because she found out about us from her sister who sent her the TikToks. Oh, okay.
It wasn't just like niceties for both of us, no, as some people do. So there's nothing for me.
It's not about you. It's about the girl. I need your advice. I just moved to Denver for work and I'm in the process of making new friends. A few new girls invited me and two of my friends from home to go skiing this past weekend. And it was a blast. We totally hit it off and I could see us moving past the dreaded friend dating phase. But my dilemma is that after the weekend was over, the girl who drove requested a Venmo for gas and parking. Totally normal. And then she requested a $35 Venmo request per person for one, an exterior and interior car detail, and two, a payment to rent a spot on her car's ski rack. Her blatant explanation was that if I charge $10 to every person to bring their skis per trip to the mountains, I can then pay off my ski rack by the end of the season. So she's just using these girls like to pay her back to pay for a ski rack. I'm not sure what that is.
A ski rack that she would already have.
Yeah, that she like wants to pay off. Am I petty as fuck for not wanting to pay this girl an extra $35 so that she can pay for her own car upgrades? On the one hand, it's not worth losing a new friend over $35, but she knows we are all on a shoestring budget and skiing is as is expensive. If I pay her, does this fuel this kind of behavior? How would you approach this? So I guess she bought a ski rack for her car, and then if she charges everyone $10, then she's like she never had to buy it.
Yeah.
Even though they did use it. But also an interior and exterior detail, that's definitely like
extreme.
Extreme, but you know, maybe she needed it.
Yeah, like we did a road trip. I would just pay it too. And like going forward, there will be a time when like you won't want to pay it and it doesn't make sense to. But like if you want this person as your friend, just pay it. But I do think this is a problem that's going to persist, but maybe eventually like it will be something so crazy that you could say something.
I don't know. I kind of feel like this isn't the most unjustified request. Like $35 when it was like the whole weekend, everyone used this one girl's car, like skiing, snow in the car. Like the detail doesn't seem like that crazy to me. The ski rack is like a little chutzpah. Like,
but it's like, where would you guys have put your skis?
Right.
If she didn't have her car and she didn't buy a ski rack.
I don't know.
It's like, it's very
gray.
No. Like it's very like a small thing, but everybody's on like has bills to pay. And I mean, it sounds like she would have bought it regardless. Like she didn't buy it like for you guys, but, I would pay it this time and then just, you know, keep an eye out.
Yeah. It doesn't, honestly, it's not the most, I've heard of crazier things people asking for Venmo requests.
Yeah, I would pay it this time for sure. But like next time be like, okay, what are the costs going to be?
Up front.
The next time someone asks you to do something, like if we're going to dinner, like, okay, are there any costs associated or just like we're going to dinner?
But it's hard enough to make friends in a new city. So honestly, just like let this one go, especially because I don't feel like it's that crazy.
Yeah, no, it's not the craziest thing I've ever heard.
All right, our third and final Dear Toasters, Dear Jackson Claude, longtime listener here. I hope all is well and fabulous with both you and the boys. I recently had my first child, and I don't know how to tell my in-laws that I don't want them posting pictures of my child. Sorry, I'm not giving the child a gender. I don't want them to be posting pictures of my child on social media. I feel like they're going to roll their eyes and think I'm a crazy mama bear behind closed doors. I don't like confrontation, and I don't want them to feel like I don't want them to be a part of my child's life. My mother-in-law and sister-in-law post everything, and I mean everything on Facebook, and that's just not my journey.
Yeah.
My husband and I are more private, and we don't feel the need to overshare our life. I know my in-laws want to share pictures of my newborn out of love and excitement, but I don't know how I feel about my child having a digital footprint at the moment. Mm-hmm. Here's the kicker. I want to be in charge of what photos are posted and when. I feel like they will think it's hypocritical of me if I tell them no posting and then I may post a photo here or there down the line. What are your thoughts? That's a very well thought out submission.
Totally. I feel like have every right 100%. To say, I don't want my baby on social media, but you could also be like, especially I don't want like a lot of volume of my baby out there, but like there, if there's ever a photo that I'm comfortable with you guys sharing, like I will let you know. And like, if I share something, that means that you can share it too. But I just because there's one picture doesn't mean that there's not going to be 1,000. Like those
floodgates.
And they absolutely have to respect that. If they don't, like, that's a problem. And if, as far as you worrying about them thinking you're like a crazy mama bear behind closed doors, like,
let them think okay, that.
Let them think.
You care so much about their grandchild.
It's better than them thinking you're just like this.
A deadbeat mom. Like, yeah. Yeah, no, Jackie's totally right. There are such worse things for your in-laws to think about you. Like if your parents think, if your in-laws think you're too overprotective over your child, that means you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Like being overprotective is never a bad thing when it comes to kids.
No, never.
So I agree. Like this is, it is important. Like it is worth having the conversation over. You're not unjustified and nothing you're asking for is like that crazy. And I feel like if you explain it out, especially like your sister-in-law who's like younger, like she should get it. Like parents don't really understand like the full magnitude of social media. So I think you'd have to like explain it to them more, but as long as you do it in a nice way.
Yeah, in a nice way, not in like a condescending way. Like you guys share so much. Like, yeah, just like,
right, right.
Just like, this is me, like for our family, like my, your son agrees. Like we just don't want a lot of pictures out there. We'll let you know if there's ever stuff we feel comfortable sharing, but.
Well, did you have to tell your in-laws?
Yeah.
And
they totally
fine.
Understood. Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure that they would love, like they would love to be able to share pictures, but like.
Of course.
They know and.
And they respect.
100%.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize like that you literally did this too.
Yeah.
And so like you just said like no pics.
Yeah. I said, we're not sharing pics of Harry. Like, please don't share either.
No, I guess I just realized that too. Cause I am friends with your in-laws on Facebook and I've never seen a picture of Raldini.
Right.
I wish I would. And like, you didn't really have that conversation with me because, you know, like I'm so against it. Like the world needs to see.
Yeah. Let's see when it's your turn, what you do.
No, I know. You know, I've thought about that a lot because like Olivia didn't do it and then like you didn't do it. And I don't know how I won't, but I think I agree.
The way that I felt, like I always said, I'll see how I feel. And the way that I felt made my decision for me. But like, the way that you might still feel like, I don't see what the big deal is, and then you can share.
By the way, I do see what the big deal is, and I agree with your sentiments. I just feel sad for everyone else that they will never get to experience the magic.
But I feel like you'll, the way that you feel, like it won't even be a hard decision if you wind up posting or not posting. Like, you'll know.
Yeah, you'll know.
That's how I felt.
I'm also just like a loser follower. Like whatever my sisters do, I do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like the decision's already been made.
I don't know. But sometimes you go rogue.
I do sometimes go rogue, but not with important shit. Like kids are important.
I don't know. I could see you going, just being like, no, I feel fine.
No, I don't. I couldn't see that actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, you're totally entitled to the girl who wrote in, not to make everything about us. You're completely entitled.
But I think that's why she wrote into us. Like,
yeah.
I picked up on that.
Oh, I totally, because it didn't apply to me. And if it doesn't apply to me, I'm not even paying attention. I didn't even pick up that, like, you literally did this.
Yeah. And it was totally fine.
Yeah.
So, like,
unless you have, like, evil in-laws, which it sounds like they're pretty normal. Like, they love your kid and, like, want to take pics. So I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people do understand, even if they've not experienced it, but they can conceive of like the downsides of social media. And like, especially for young kids, like there is a lot there. So I feel like they'll respect your decision.
Yeah, I agree. Because we all want what's best for the child.
Of course.
And that's what we all have in Kerman.
In Kerman.
What are we going to have for lunch?
I literally just got so hungry.
I heard somebody downstairs open the microwave. That's why.
I'm so glad you asked the question.
I'm starving.
Maybe like we go out for lunch. Pick I'm something down. Up.
I also need to go to Target because the way I have asked repeatedly for a chair in my bathroom, I cannot. You know what I didn't realize? Mm-hmm. I guess I have a vanity at my house and I have not done my makeup standing up.
Do you need a chair with a back or a poof?
I just need something.
Well, you could always take one from the dining table.
No. I want like it needs to be taller. So I just need to go to Target and get what I need. Like my back, my feet hurt. Like just standing up and doing your hair and makeup when you take as long as I do is backbreaking stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll go lunch and then Target.
I have to edit the Redheads today. New episode drops tomorrow. We recorded it yesterday and it's so good. And even though we all like the book, like we all had a lot of really valid concerns.
Okay.
And I feel like it's a really good episode about a great book, which so many people loved, including the Garrelies. And as always, the rating felt right.
Mm.
But we were like not just blindly eating all of it up. Because you could have. Because there was, it, honestly, she's like real life Evelyn Hugo.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
It was a really good book. But we had concerns.
And I have concerns too about what I'm going to have for lunch. So I'm going to go figure that out.
I'm going to have a bowl of strice for lunch.
I hope you guys have an amazing hump day. Thank you so much for joining us. And I hope it's time for your lunch now or dinner whenever you're listening to this or dessert.
Because I want my dinner now.
I do want my dinner now. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast of the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the festive stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts. And so social media, our video, beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Amen.
Love ya. Bye.